Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
We trust you have been refreshed by the word of truth, rightly divided by Bishop Eddie Addy from the Macarius Church headquarters. Join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. on the Riverside Flow Service, and connect with Bishop Eddie Addy on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on Sweet Melodies 94.3 FM. God richly bless you.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing in bringing us together one more time. We ask you to open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Everybody lift your hand and ask God to speak to you. If you are joining us on Facebook, if you are joining us wherever you are, lift up your hand. Makonda Ileria Basandolo Mojai. Mata Keriabo Sifri Madilale. Yes, Lord. Blessed be God. Thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to be in your presence. Maybe you came from work, you feel exhausted, and you don't really feel like hearing the preaching of God's word. But pray, because God's word can give you direction. God's word can heal you. God's word can lift you up. God's word can change your life. God's word can bring deliverance to the captives. Addictions can be broken. Depression can disappear. Sicknesses can be healed by the entrance of God's word. So wherever you are, in your home, in your car, in the church right here, on Facebook, on YouTube, wherever, or you are watching maybe later on somewhere, or listening to the podcast, listen to it. God is going to touch your life. Matori agandeli metale repatoli kibiasa tande ilegras. Blessed be God. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient word impart. Ancient word, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient word impart. Father, we thank you one more time for the great privilege to hear your word. We thank you that in our time, the word of God is not scarce.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you that open visions are not a thing of the past. And we ask that you open our eyes and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And today, I want to begin to prepare you for Christmas and the new year. Yes. And I believe that as we are almost entering into December, I feel that we must enter December in a particular gear. And so I want to use this opportunity to preach to you on make yourselves saviors of men. Yes. I believe that it will be the greatest honor for us to bring Jesus gifts if wise men from the east brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We must bring him gifts which are more precious than gold. Is that not so? Something more than gold. something that is more valuable than precious stones. It's the soul of a man. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So the whole world, including the gold, the silver, the manganese, the bauxite, these things, they mention them, you don't even know what they are used for, but they are mentioned as precious stones. I think we all know gold, and then we know silver and diamonds, okay, but you don't know manganese and bauxite and what other precious stones are there. Pardon? Platinum. Okay. Good. So, the soul of a man is far more precious than anything you can find in this world. So, I'm preaching from my book, Make Yourself Saviors of Men. All right. Let's go to Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. I've started from the middle somewhere, but it's okay. He says, and the captivity, from verse 20, of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And the Lord, the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. Obadiah's prophecy is giving us this window into saviors. We always understood that Jesus is the savior. Yes, but he's explaining to us that saviors shall come. Are you listening to me? Who are these saviors? Okay, indeed Jesus is the savior of the world. We all love the scripture that says that unto us is born this day in the city of David a savior, which is Christ the Lord. A savior in Luke 2 verse 11, unto us this day is born in the city of David a savior, a savior, a savior. In Matthew 1:21, he says that, and you shall give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So it's clear to us that Jesus is the Savior. But now the Bible is saying that Savior shall come. Saviors. And it's important to understand what these Saviors are. Even though Jesus is the Savior of the world, there is something we are supposed to do to save people. In a sense, that makes us also saviors of men. Yes. What are we supposed to do to save men? We are supposed to preach the gospel and share the love of Jesus everywhere. Yes. So, this thing called saving men, it turns you into saviors of men. This thing called saving men is not just something that Jesus came to do. Jesus died for us out of love. Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago. And he came to die and left us a commission. Yes. To tell the world this story. You see, and the telling of this story, if you tell it with conviction and tell it with strength, it will lead to other people getting saved. And when you lead people to salvation, it makes you a savior of men. You are one of those saviors that are arising in Mount Zion in the mighty name of Jesus. Beautiful. Jesus exerted great effort and paid a high. When I finish reading, I finish preaching. Jesus Christ exerted great effort and paid a high price so that men could be saved. It is interesting, though, that people cannot be saved without us preaching about Jesus. Romans 10. Let's start from verse 13. Romans 10, he says, verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Beautiful. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Yes. So we are being told that, actually you can start from verse 9. For those of you who are traditional Christians, you start from verse 9. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Because you wanted me to start from 9. And I started from 13. And you are wondering why I started from there. So okay, I'll take you back to your traditional verse. Okay, because you have memorized that one. So when they quote Romans 10, you immediately want to hear verse 9. Okay, I'll quote it. Okay. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Okay? For the Bible says that, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Then he says that there is no, the scripture says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is neither no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." So he's trying to say that anybody at all can qualify for salvation. Whether he's a Jew or a Greek. Whether he's a Fanti or Ga. Whether he's an Ewe or a Dagati. Whether he's a Dagumba or Kokumba. Whether he's Nanumba or what? Or Mamprusi. Yes. Or Tutsi or Hutu. Yes. Or Zulu or Xhosa. Are you listening to me? So whichever group, the Bible has made it clear, everybody can be saved. There is no difference. Nobody is exempted. Nobody's like, "You dear, you don't qualify." Madmen need salvation. Madmen even will need salvation. They also can qualify for this salvation. Even people who are not educated can be saved. Educated can be saved. Professors can be saved. Workers who work for somebody can also be saved. Teachers can be saved. Students can be saved. You see, he's trying to say that the same Lord, is Lord. He said the same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon him. Anybody, his salvation is a lot. He's rich in mercy. Yeah. So that it's not like, since these people got saved, it's finished. Somebody claims that only 144 can be saved and will go to heaven. But the Bible is making us see that God is rich unto all. There is enough. There is enough. I said there is enough for everybody. Then he says, "For whosoever shall call," whosoever embodies everybody. No matter your background, your tribe, your educational level, prosperity level, I mean your color, your tribe, your height, brown people can be saved, white people can be saved. Do you see? Black. Yes. People with black faces and fair bodies can be saved. And people with fair bodies and black faces can also be saved. Yeah, it's a combo. It's rich unto us. And the simple step is that whosoever shall call, you just have to call. And so a Fanti can call, an Ewe can call, a rich man can call, a prisoner can even call, a free man can call, a policeman can call, a soldier can call, a teacher can call. A sick person on his bed, sick bed, can even call. I'm telling you, even there are some people, they can't speak. But you'll be surprised that they can call. Yes, they can call. Now people have been saved last minute. Yes. The thief on the cross, with his last breath of agony, He said, Lord, I believe in you so much. We are dying for our sins, but you are a righteous man. But as far as that, we are wicked and we deserve what we have got. But you are not. So when you come into your kingdom, remember me. You see, that phrase means that he has received Christ. He's now saved. Because whosoever shall call. So he called. God recognized it as a call. He called on the Lord Jesus. And once he was calling on the Lord Jesus, even though it was his last breath, he has stolen, he has been in prison, he deserves to die. Even in that last moment, without assurance of salvation, without baptism, without a new believer school, without graduation at a new believer's class, without any of these things, he crossed over and he went into paradise, because he called on the name of the Lord our God. Everybody can be saved. Yeah. And it is that simple. It is that simple. And because it's that simple, sometimes you feel that it's not, it can't be. But it can be. Yes. So whosoever shall call shall be saved. Then he says that, how can they call? This prisoner who called and last minute was transferred from, he was going to hell. Within a few, just one sentence like this, but believing in his heart, said, as for me, I deserve what I've got. But you know, I know that you're a righteous man. Yeah. He shut down his friend. Shut up! You are ridiculing him that if he's the son of God, he should save himself and save us. You are an apache. You want them to bring you back from the cross so you can go and steal again. But his friend shut him down. That's why sometimes you should shut some people down. Shut up! This is the right thing we should be believing in. Not what you are saying. He said, we are bad people. You and I, we know ourselves. But as for him there, he's a good man. Yes. But we deserve what we are getting. And he doesn't deserve it. Then he turned one more, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. That's all. He had called upon the name. How can he call? He says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, so this is where you see that preachers are needed. So he says, and how can they preach? This is for how? Verse 15. Okay, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So this Christmas, we often say glad tidings, joy to the world, and also something glad tidings. They say there's a song that has glad tidings in it. Glad tidings of we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. That glad tidings is not just that Christ has been born. Oh. Glad tidings is a different type of glad tidings. When you bring this good news that he came into our world, not just born, but he came to live. He did miracles. He saved, he healed the sick and cleansed the lepers. And the Bible said they caught him and arrested him and crucified him. And through that, salvation has come to mankind. So that is the glad tidings that preachers must be sent to preach. So I'm sending you this season. I'll be sending you. I'm sending you to be saviors of men to preach. You preach this glad tidings. Your feet will be beautiful. As you are going with this glad tidings, you are going to preach. And when you preach, people are going to hear. And when they hear, they are going to believe. And when they believe, they are going to call. And when they call, they shall be saved. Yes. And that is why saviors must come into the world again. Let us bring back saviors of men again. Let's make saviors of men great again. Amen. Yes. People who live today are not aware of events that have taken place in the past. It is normal for events, no matter how dramatic they were, to be forgotten quite soon after they occurred. That is why today most people don't remember what happened in the revolution. I was alive we don't remember the feeling of Eyehain Eyekania. Did you ever hear of Eyehain Eyekania? That we've forgotten. Not a good feeling. So I remember when President Rawlings was alive, he would give certain speeches to say, look, the way the people, politicians are behaving, this is the sort of environment that creates a boom. Yeah. See? He said his boom speech. It's like, these are not things he should be saying. We don't want to hear them at all, because those who were alive in those days, they remembered the feeling. Hey, you'll be going to hear ga 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 ga. I mean, it's like it's in the distance, but you hear ga 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 ga. It means that you have to go back home because you don't know what is happening in town. There was fear, curfews, police roadblocks, checks. Hey, police whipping women who are wearing trousers. Soldiers, yes. Today you wear trousers and you are feeling free. Lady Pastor Angie is wearing trousers. When you get to school, Junction, you see them standing there. They will open your legs and shape you. Yes, because you are wearing trousers. You didn't hear of such things, you see. Because we quickly forget. And unless somebody writes it, and somebody reads it, you never know that there was such a season in Ghana where we're so traumatized. Do you know that we have queued for toilet roll before? And do you know that secondary school, you are going to, you can't get milk on the road. You can't just go into a corner shop and buy milk. You have to queue. Go, not even queue, but go to the place, the source. GNTC. UTC. Sometimes you need a chit from some office in Gonda Barracks before you can get 6 tins of milk. Yes, the whole family. Do you know we have queued for kenke that has not yet been cooked before? And it finishes before they cook it. So you buy and you go and you cook it in your house. You see, but these events, you don't even when we say it, you say, hey, then Ghana was difficult to... Yellow corn. Corn that was meant for chicken. We were making them into corn dough and making bread and other things with it, because like there was nothing. We were hungry. And the flour will not even rise. If you put yeast, it won't rise. You see the bread, when you are eating the bread is like a short man, like a kapwepwe. It's like a dwarf. Hey! Bread is like stone. There was some type of fish called kako. Kako was smelly fish, like fish that is spoiled. How it smells like fish that is spoiled. And that's what, and hard. You boil before it becomes tender, before you can eat it. Hey! These are events, they have come to pass. Nobody seems to even remember. I even wonder whether anybody has written. Even when you even write, it's like, you are too. It's like, why are you writing about all these things? It's not necessary. Yeah. But they are to give us a window into history. Yeah. What happened in the past, so we don't repeat it. Right. And in the days of Jesus, people being crucified was quite a normal thing, because that was the way they killed people. Yes. And when Jesus came and they were beating him, you know, in some places they put a tie around an armed robber and they burn him alive. That's how they execute people in those places. If you like, go and let them shout, "Armed robber, armed robber," immediately. So don't go around brandishing your toy gun or your whatever before somebody says, "That's an armed robber." So, "No, it's a toy gun. Please, it's a toy." By the time you can say toy, slap. So there are some jokes, you shouldn't joke them. In fact, even when you are in America now, and I think even some of the places in Europe, you shouldn't be making jokes like, "Oh, that bomb that they put," maybe like, "Charlie, are they go bomb bomb?" Maybe that's your term for eating. Do you see? Some people say, "Are they go bomb? Are they go, Charlie, we for bomb the thing? Are they go fire?" Hey, words like bomb, fire, terrorism. Do you see? They are things that are picked up by the gadgets that they have around. So before you realize, no, soldiers and police and army have surrounded your house. Then you wonder, hey, what are they doing here? What are they doing here? They are coming for you. Because of what? So you are, who is bombing something? Who is bombing something here? So, oh, nobody is bombing anything. We've just got our kenke from Ghana and we want to bomb it. Hey! They open the kenke and see what is inside. You see, so when Jesus came and they executed him, it was an event that happened that must not just disappear in oblivion like the way the revolutionary things have disappeared in our minds. That's why politicians are feeling free to do the things that they are doing, because they've forgotten how it was. On a contract now, which a contract now, unquestioned term, no money had their share. In those days, you cannot go to work late. Hey! The soldiers were the rulers of, they come to the offices. They check when you came and they will sanction you. You can even carry bola in your car if you throw something out of your car. Politicians. Your girlfriends have been given free ticket to go abroad. And contracts for making roads. Look at how the roads are spoiled. You'll be feeling free in town like that. Fair. You can't do that in those days. So Jesus died for us out of love. And the commission is to get people to preach it and to tell it. To read about it. To study it. To understand it and to have to be energized with the passion and the strength. Do you understand? And the energy and the zeal to go about and tell the world that Jesus actually died for us out of love. Not something to be forgotten as something written in some history books by Kodoyanka. Or Edubuahi. Do you see? That or F.K. Bua. Yes. Who have written things and you will not even read because you are not a history student. So it's like only people who choose history will know about Mansa Musa and Uthman Danfodio. Yeah. The jihad of Uthman Danfodio. Do you know the jihad of Uthman Danfodio? Because you are not a history student. So is it that Jesus died and it's written in some history book that only selected religious studies students can read it and know that, oh, there was some man B who came, he died, they said he died to save the world and so on. But it's like, I mean, we are studying it, but we are trying to understand how it has a bearing on us today. It's that only history students can study it. That's not how it was. The Bible says that saviors shall arise from Mount Zion and they are supposed to preach, to go everywhere and tell the world that Jesus died for them. How can they preach except they be sent? The only thing is the people who are being sent are not preaching. They are disobeying the going. And they're preaching. Are you listening to me? The power of God is available for the people that hear and believe the gospel. Salvation comes by faith, and faith comes by hearing. If the world is to benefit from this great event of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and shedding his blood as the Lamb of God, people will have to hear about it. We have a duty to tell the whole world about Jesus Christ. So tell about Jesus Christ. Tell the world about Jesus Christ. About Jesus, Savior of the world. One day you'll be saying, Lord, give me a chance to go back to earth. How I will preach. I would like to do this full time because now I see that it's very important. Now I see that, hey, the only most important message for the world, even as a preacher, is not to teach you, I mean, even how to marry. Singles, mingling. Love bazaar. Beloved-dosing workshop. Love fest. Bridal fair. Wife choosing methodology.
Thank you.
Yes. It's a message. Husband, I don't know whether it's choosing, but whether you can choose a husband, but husband's acceptance methodology. Meet her the right way. How to say yes.
40 things you must know before you
40 things you must know before you propose. How to reign in life. How to multiply your profit. How to be relevant in the marketplace as a believer. Multiple streams of income. The business leadership of Christ. You will not like any of these messages because you will see that this is not what is needed here. That's why when the rich man went to hell, and in hell he lifted his eyes and he saw Lazarus, whom he knew on earth, he realized that he had made a mistake. And in hell, he started to now bargain, first for himself, and it didn't work. To get water to drink, it didn't work. Then he was now bargaining for his five brothers who had been left here on earth. And his bargaining was that somebody should be sent, like Lazarus, whom they all know, should be sent back to go and preach. They need a preacher. He recognized that they needed a preacher, and that if they get a preacher, a savior of men, his five brothers will come to heaven. And Abraham said to him that no, it's not possible, because here, no, there, you cannot. You got a road that brought you from earth to heaven, and another road from heaven, earth to hell. But there's no road from hell to heaven or heaven to hell. And there's no road from heaven to earth. And no road from hell to earth. So nobody can go back who has come here. And only people, they can only come here or go there. But they cannot go from here and return to earth to go and tell it. Then the Abraham gave him what I'm telling you. He gave him the message. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. These are the saviors of men. Let them hear them. Your songs will start changing. Yes. You will change your songs. Most Christian gospel singers don't have this mind of being saviors of men. You will struggle to get songs that have messages about giving your life to serve God, to preach the gospel, to save others and bring salvation, heaven, hell. No, if you like, comb through your playlists, you will struggle to find songs. Go through your playlist. And so most of us in the church today have our hearts turned away from being saviors of men. You feel that once you are saved, all others can go to hell for all you care. But from today, it shall not be so. From today, it shall not be so. There are still souls that need to be saved. There are still people that must be reached. There are still tribes that are yet unreached. There are places we must go and preach. There are places we must take the gospel. When you get to heaven, your profession will not be necessary. You see, one day I was at a funeral. I've got that obituary. One of these days I'll bring the funeral brochure. Yes, I've got it. The man's tribute occupied about 5 pages. Like from front and back, front and back, front, about 6 or 7 pages. With lists of his accomplishments on earth. Yes, biography. His biography. So his brother, was called upon to read the tribute. So when he was reading the tribute, he started, he was at the UN, he did this, he published these papers, then he was listing the papers that he published. He got to a place and said, all these are not necessary. Then he flipped the page one, and flipped two, and flipped three, and got to the last page and read the end. His own brother on earth was rubbishing his accomplishments as something that is not necessary. Here on earth. So Christians, our focus is wrong. And our emphasis, even in the church, is a bit misplaced. Do you see? And until we bring our minds back, the church is going to suffer. Yes. I'm reading, and when I finish, I'll finish. Yes. Beautiful. Importance of last words. It is no surprise that Jesus' very last words contain a clear commission to go into the whole world to inform people about Jesus Christ. In various different accounts, Christians are asked to go out into the whole world and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. This last command of Jesus Christ is the basis of this message I am preaching to you. Some people call it the Great Commission. Perhaps it is called the Great Commission because it is the last and final command of Jesus Christ to his disciples. Final words are special and great words. Last words carry a sense of being the most important words ever spoken by a human being. Since last words are the very last things a person will say, they are likely to be the most important and the most critical things he will ever say. Are you listening to me? He gives a story. One of our pastors, I know him personally. He was sick of his sickness whereof he died. Yes, it's an Elijah type of sickness. He died of the sickness whereof Elisha, of the sickness whereof he died. Before he died, in his weak voice, he made an audio recording. Even our own lady, Pastor Marian, she made an audio recording of her last words. Yes. They wanted to even play it in the church. I told them that I will not play it. It's enough that she has died. You are not coming to give me her weak voice as she was. You want us to cry or what? I will not allow you to play it. I'm the one preaching. She cannot preach to us. She has finished preaching. When she was here, she's finished. In her death, I'm not going to play her last words. What should be done? What should not be done? No. In her trembling voice, I said, no, I won't allow it. So they sent me a recording of that recording. And then another lady also sent me a message she gave to her. She audio message to her that, look, these are things that I want you to do when I'm gone. Yes. So she spoke to her friend and gave her last words. But this our pastor, his was very interesting because when he died, the family went for the body to go and put the body at a place that they had prepared for it. And were preparing for the funeral with their own arrangement for where he should be buried, what should be done during the funeral. And the son, the firstborn son, told them that, oh, my daddy gave us an audio recording at the hospital before he died, and I think we should play it. And all the elders, older uncles, aunties, Ketre, you know the Ketre? The Ketre, do you know Ketre? It's not Ketelo, Ketre. I think it's a Ghana word, yeah. It's made up of the elders of a family. And they sit at the table, the head table, at the funeral reception, and then they dictate affairs. Yes. They dictate who should speak and who should not speak. Who should come, who should not come. Who should sit in front, who should not sit in front. Who should give tribute, who should not give tribute. Who should contribute to the funeral and who cannot contribute to the funeral. Yes, it's a kind of superpower. Called the Ketre. Nyanu boni Ketre ke. You see, when you hear the Ketre has spoken, it's like the law that God has given.
Nyenu boni so gase, nyenu boni ketre ke. Did we not hear what the ketre said? The ketre said, we are wearing red, and red it shall be. The ketre said, we are wearing black and white it shall be. Ketre. So the ketre had met, and they were starting to dictate what they wanted to be done. So when the boy said, my daddy recorded and gave instructions as to what to be done, they began to shake. They said, bring the recording. So they brought the audio, and they started playing. My name is Reverend. I want to say that when I die, I want my body to be given to Bishop Dagewood Mills. And whatever Bishop Dagewood Mills decides that what to do with my body, that is what must be done. And wherever he decides that my body should be buried, that is where it should be buried. I don't want whatever he said. They were quiet like how you are quiet. Well, if you talk, you won't hear his voice because his voice was very weak. And they quietly listened and received all the instructions. And whatever he said basically is what was done for his funeral, for his burial, for Thanksgiving. The ketre submitted to the last words of a dying man whom they were older than. They were older than him, but they could not go against his last words. That's how powerful last words are. Yes. I remember when my father was going to die. I didn't know he was going to die. He didn't know he was going to die. Nobody knew he was going to die. He died on a Thursday. On the Tuesday night, he had called. I had gone for some executive meeting. I came a bit late. He called myself and my brother. And he started lecturing us. He had never spoken to us like that before. He said, look, you are my sons. You are my sons. I want to talk to you because one day you would have to look after the girls. Yes. Then he said, okay, you are in the university now. Okay, you've gained admission. I wasn't yet in the university. I had gained admission to the university, but it hadn't reopened. So this was 18th or something like that of September 1984. He died 20th September 1984. And I was going to university, I think, somewhere in October, about the second week in October. He was buried on the 4th of October. Then I went to school the week after. So he said, one day if I'm not there, please, you have to look after yourselves. Then he looked at me and said, you don't like staying at home. Why? You don't like your brothers and sisters. They're all your brothers and sisters. I said, oh no, it's not like that. It's not that I don't like them. Just that I'm an executive member of a fellowship. So I go for meetings and things. He said, okay. So you've got admission to the university. Go ahead. He told my brother, you like working with your fingers, repairing. I mean, he hasn't been to any technical school or anything, but he likes repair. He can dismantle a whole system, sound system, and connect things together. You see that sound system doesn't have a body. He has connected only the intestines, and they are playing in his room. So he says, I would like you to go to this school. So he pointed to a particular school that he should attend to help him develop that skill. Then he told the two of us that you are brothers, so you must be together. Yes, and all of you should live as one. He had never spoken to us like that, and we did, and he was only 49 years old. So it's not like, you know, maybe he's 85, so as he's talking, this one, they are his last words. No, 49. It's as I got to 49, around 49, I was getting to, I said, hey. Then he was young, pow. And he went like that. So he spoke to us, gave us various instructions and he really spoke to us. And he left. Based on that, I determined in my heart that there will be no problem between me and my siblings. There will be no quarrel. There will be no, like issues. And to this day, I'm keeping to it. Yes. Interestingly, it lines up with also the word of God. So it's even stronger in my heart. The other day, my elder sister, gave her something. She said to me, how you are with us, stay like that to the end. Yes. Because she can see that I'm very nice with everyone. And my mother is different. Four of them are different. Then another one is also there. Do you see? And they are very fair, like have cast skin, fair. Not like my own. No, not like Princess Chest. No, fairer than El Pianji. Yeah, true. Because their mother was fair. Aigbe have cast type of hair. So they are very fair. My father too is quite fair. My mother, who is my caller. Yes. So I took it from that side. Yes. So even though he's dead and gone, his words are still ringing in my heart. Never forgotten them. Because the last words of a person are very important. And when our Savior was about to leave, he called the disciples together and he spoke to them. In Matthew 28 and verse 18. Listen to him. I'm about to end. Yes. He said, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the... If Jesus was old and his voice was weak and he was speaking, we would have heard his voice, trembling voice, say, go ye. Then he will pause. Then he will speak. Then he will pause. Then everybody will say, hey, the man was about to die and he said these words. You have to take them seriously. But when he said these words, he was taken away from them. So his last words should be taken very seriously, because if you are dying and you have a few minutes to speak, you are not going to talk about even your house that has not been swept, or that they should really sweep the house and make it clean, or the house help that doesn't respect, or whatever. He's going to say the most important things that will change their lives forever. Yes. And we are here as Christians. And the last words of our Savior almost means nothing to us. Now we all feel that, it's not really, most churches, most Christians, when you start talking about it, we all know, and as for witnessing, we all witness. But you will see, in one whole year, you have never talked to anybody about Jesus. You have never witnessed to anyone. You've never said to anybody that Jesus came to die for your sins. You are not even serious about the message, to understand how to share it, different ways to present it, how you can, you see, like somebody who has done marketing. If they are marketing something, they have different strategies and ways of selling things to you. Yeah. And that's why sometimes you are even those who are on the road, these boys who sell dog chains and others, they've learned certain marketing strategies, and they'll come to you and they'll call you boss. Nobody calls you boss. They are calling you boss. You like to stop and listen to what the man has to say. No, the chairman. Oh, chief. Manager. Boss. Senior. And sometimes they will run behind your car for so long that at a point you have no choice than to roll down your glass. What is it, that you are selling, that you are now running for so long in this hot sun? How much is it? How much is it? Then they'll give you the price times 5. For the running. And to sell to you so that in case they don't sell again to any other person for the day, at least they can eat for today and tomorrow. They have learned it. They come with different strategies. How? Because today you come, you say, this thing, it is the best one that you can ever find on the market. They don't sell even a crumb, or they don't have some. I'm the only one who has some in Ghana here. Oh, if you don't buy from me, you are finished. Yes. And you have been given the most important message to preach. And yet, you won't learn how to share it. You won't learn different ways with feeling. But when you are looking for a girl, you have developed different strategies, different lines of addressing. If you see her, you don't know her, there's something to say. You start with, excuse me, is this Evelyn? Ah, you look familiar. Is that not a good line that you use? You look familiar. Is this Evelyn? Ah, is it not? Were you not at Wesley Girls? I don't know, but you know, you remind me of this girl called Evelyn.
Oh my, it's a lie.
Are you Furiwa or something? Dude, are you twins? You see, you are learning, you have different tribes, but when you have to share your salvation, you say, oh, my church is powerful, my pastor preaches good, come and visit my church. Only this is your only line you know. My church is nice, my pastor is powerful, my pastor preaches good. Please, if you visit us, your life will never be the same again. He's on radio, he's on Facebook. You have to believe that these are the most this is the greatest vocation a person can give himself to preach about Jesus, to tell about Jesus, to talk about Jesus, to go everywhere for Jesus. Some of us may need to submit our doctorates, our masters, our degrees, and put them at the feet of the master and count them but dung, just like the way Paul counted his own as dung and declared that I want to preach to know nothing among the people I'm going to except Jesus and him crucified. There shall come a time you will have to submit whatever is dear to you and put it at the master's feet and declare, Master, you are the most important. This is the most important vocation. There are people who are not getting jobs. They've struggled. They can't get jobs. Sometimes it doesn't even occur to a Christian that you are not getting a job. It's a message from the Lord. And once you are intelligent, you are clever, you don't think that your intelligence is needed by God. When you go on there, ekume for like some ate for like village boys who can't speak good English is what he needs. But the time has come for us to recognize that Jesus, our Savior, he left us a great commission, a great commandment, a great instruction that we must go. He has done the hard part. I always say that. He has done the hardest part. Can they slap you for Jesus? Can they stone you for Jesus? Can they stone you and kill you for somebody's salvation? Even when they pinch you small, cry, you'll be screaming. What are they thrust a crown of thorns in your brow and push it down so that it's pricking you in different places. Can you endure that? A little pin prick, small injection, you can't even collect. Jesus has done that part. They put the nails in his head. They pressed it down. It pricked different places. He was in agony. He was bleeding. It was coming down like sweat. But it was not sweat. It was blood. They whipped his back. 39 lashes. Even when they use a cane to whip you, it can make lines on your back and start bleeding. Yes. And make marks there. There are people who can say, my father whipped me. This mark I have on my thigh, it was a belt my father used to give me. He whipped me. He was angry with me. He lashed my back. When you see the mark on my back, I bear because my father lashed me with his belt. And Jesus took that path, the punishment that brought us peace. was laid upon him. He was beaten so much, his whole back was torn. That's why the Bible, by his stripes you were healed. It's like the stripes, every stripe upon his battered back, do you see, was laid on his back for you. He's done, he endured it. He endured it so that he'll be beaten to the point where he can die from the beating. And when they thought he had not died, they pierced a spear on his side and pulled it out, and blood and water gushed out, symbolizing that now the man is fully dead. They didn't want to break his legs because he was already dead. But the prisoners, they broke their legs. And they didn't break his legs also to fulfill scripture that none of his bones was broken. He did that hard part for us. And God bless Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the gospel writers. They captured the story for us. How he came to live, how he came to die, how he resurrected, all the things he said. They've written all of them down. So that you and I, who have come generations after, will join the herald of his coming. And the people who are preaching and saving others, we can join them and also go to the highways and the byways and become saviors of men. Yes. You must rise up and say, this year, as I approach Christmas, I am activating my savior, my saviors of men cap. I'm putting on, turning on my saviors of men mode. Yes. And for the rest of my days, I will commit myself to this glorious mission unreservedly. I will commit myself to this glorious mission unreservedly. I will commit myself to this glorious mission unreservedly. I will commit myself. I don't want to just be a Christian who sits in the chair. They are always preaching to you. They are always preaching. That's why it gets to a point you become angry. Somebody offends you, you just leave. Somebody offends you, you just go to another church where nobody has offended you yet. And if somebody dares offend you at the gate, you will turn and go somewhere else. Because you don't understand that your life is not about sitting in a church and being preached to. Your life is being preached to so you can preach to others. For the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It is our time. It's our turn. You and I must rise up and also pick up our Bible and pick up our shoes and prepare ourselves and go out there and preach. So that others may hear. So that when they hear, they can believe. And when they believe, they can call. And when they call, they will be saved. And when they are saved, they will be added to the church. For the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. May we become saviors of men. May we become saviors of men. May we become preachers through whom many others will come to know the Lord. Can I have a big amen?
Amen.
Can I have another amen?
Amen?
Can I have another amen?
Amen.
Are you saying the amen well?
Amen.
Indeed, as you stand, we must make ourselves saviors of men by repeating the stories of Jesus Christ and telling people how great he is and how he saved us on the cross. We make ourselves saviors of men as we tell people how great Jesus is. That's why we must learn how to explain him and preach him and talk about him. And yours is also, that's also your part. That's also your part. When Peter was called to Cornelius' house, what did he go and do there? What did he go and do there? He told the story. He told them how God, Acts chapter 10, you can start from verse 35 or 34, thereabouts. Okay, yeah. Then Peter opened his mouth, verse 34, and said, of a truth, I perceive. You see, this is Peter who didn't know what he was supposed to do when he got to Cornelius' house. But when they called me, said, I don't know why you have called me, so me too have come. They also said, we don't know why you have been called to come and meet us. God, an angel said we should come and call. We don't know, so we have all gathered to hear what you have to tell us. Then he opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Can you not say that one? You can't say that one. Next. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. When they mention Jesus Christ, they add, he is Lord of all. Like when they mention Muhammad, they have something they rattle after. This one is Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. He says, that word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. You see, this is how gospel is so. You have to learn how this is preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is his life when he walked on the streets of Galilee. This is his life when he went to Capernaum. This is his life when he walked in Nazareth. This is his life when he went to the cities of Bethsaida and Chorazin. This was his life. He was anointed. He was doing good. He was healing people that were oppressed of the devil. That's our Jesus. And we are witnesses of these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Then the Bible says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. This was the message that Peter was supposed to go and preach. This was the message an angel couldn't preach. I don't know why an angel couldn't preach this message. But maybe it takes somebody who has experienced, who was there, because the angel he was not there. Yeah, they were watching from heaven, but they could not see, they could not hear, they could not feel the feelings that John had, that he wrote about. Angels cannot write it. And the Holy Spirit confirmed that this is the gospel, and he came upon them. They began to speak in tongues. This message, it may sound simple, but it turned the whole of Cornelius' house upside down. We have to learn how to preach it with power. We have to learn how to preach it with understanding. We have to learn how to present it. It's like if this is what I have, and I have to convince people about, how do I do it? Yes. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men. It's like you know how terrible God can be, so you persuade. So you have to learn how to persuade men. People are selling drugs. They say it can cure headache. It can cure hypertension. It can cure asthma. It can also cure stroke. It can cure fibroids. The same medicine, it can cure your eyesight. It can also help your ears if you can't hear well. And your toothache can also be cleansed. And if you go to toilet and there's phlegm in the toilet, it can also cure it. They have a way of talking and selling the thing. By the time they get off the bus, all the soap they brought is finished. All the medicine they brought is finished. Because people will be lifting their hands. Mpacho mami mi ensa. Mpacho mami mi enu. Mpacho mi perfise. Mpacho mi di adansye. Papaya droya wotonye. Nami was sasabro. And the sasabro is now gone. Mi denya mi ase. Se men shia sa papaya. Oh, now wakra. Nami ye oba. If I go, my menses was very painful menses. Now through this medicine, I am now free. It will work for you too. Why can't we have such people with boldness, with confidence, with conviction, with assurance,
telling the world that Jesus loves them, that Jesus saves, and Jesus came to share. So this Christmas, don't bother to bring a card, and don't bother to come and be singing ding dong merrily on high, hosanna in heaven, the bells are ringing, ding dong. Verily the sky is filling the singing. You have another song that they hold their hand and they sing. What song is that? Eh? Is that not the song that they say? Huh? Oh, the choristers, you don't remember it. Is that not the song that they sang? Yeah. You sang, you chewed, you poured, you forgot. So you see that even the Christmas song, you don't even understand. Do you know what is Hosanna in Excelsis? Excelsis or in Excelsis? Yes. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? Somebody said Hosanna in the service. Okay. I hear you. Hosanna in the service. But this Christmas, we want to bring gifts of souls to Jesus. Let us rise up as a church. We should not be sleeping on this message. We should not relegate it to the background. And you see, Christianity is not exciting if you are not winning souls, bringing them up, establishing them, solving their problem, praying for them, blessing them. If you don't, you are not engaged in that. There's no joy in Christianity. But from this season and into 2022, it will be our vocation as a church and as a people, in the mighty name of Jesus. Stand to your feet wherever you are, and let's pray and go home. I want to invite you here to come and pray for just 5 minutes. And if you are home, we have not finished the service, we are praying. We want to pray to become saviors of men. I want to commit myself to be a savior of men. If you want to do that, Lord, re-energize me to be a savior of men. I want to preach. I want to go out. I want to draw men. I want to bring them to the Savior. I want to bring them to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Masandala makataya, rapatua kata, zimandala mahande, ziako tabari nama, zapraponteli migades, imashateli migabaria, ropanderi mikaba, rabanda igalia musandari mina, epatoria mashanda rabada, rabagabarabada, andaleria, ropandalama, rapandalama. Ah, we are praying. Oh my God, rapako. Stir up evangelism fire in my heart. Stir it up in me. The saving of men. I want to be a savior of men. Let me join the saviors of men. Rabande igoria mahata. Zimiaka tariaga. Rabande igaradada. Rabande igabarada. Rabande igabaraba. Zoparia. Zoparia. Soparia, andalea, 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 o cajale, matocala, brantaligabra, rapadola, santalaga, rapadalaga, ropataya, istonande, zia capaya, stir it up in us, stir it up in me, stir it up in me. Pray wherever you are on Facebook. Make yourself saviors of men. Talk to God. I want to be a savior of men. I want to join the preachers who are sent to preach so others can hear. So when they hear, they can believe. So when they believe, they can call. And when they call, they can be saved. And when they are saved, they are added to the church. Oh my God. Randa la mana. Randa la mana. mana, randa la mana, adia kata, patola kasanda la mana, rakatunda la mana, aberia basanda, lekabaria, rekabaria, handali marade, rabani la raba, zota branda la grada, lebranda la brada, lebranda la brada. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for everyone that is here and those that are watching on Facebook. Lord, we are praying that you will stir in us a new fire for evangelism. Let it burn in our hearts the salvation of souls. We want to be saviors of men. We want to join them that have been sent to preach so others can hear. So that when they hear, they can believe. And when they believe, they can call. And when they call, they can be saved. And when they are saved, they are added to the church. Lord, help us and stir in us that fire. May it be an unquenchable fire in our hearts for the rest of our days. To be saviors of men and to preach and to talk about the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. We give you thanks and give you blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands, clap your hands. God bless you. Clap your hands. Go back. Clap your hands as you go. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. The Lord of the harvest. We sign up as recruits to aid in the harvest of souls. We want to be saviors of men. May it be our all-time vocation to be saviors of men and to do this awesome work in the mighty name of Jesus. If you are here tonight, you are not a shepherd, but you want to sign up to be a shepherd in the house of God, that you will help to shepherd people, souls that are saved, people that are led to Christ. You want to help to follow them up. You want to help to teach them. You want to help to look after them. You want to help to establish them. I want you to step forward and come. I want to be a shepherd in the house of God. I want to pray for you. Come to me right here. Please come quickly as we end. Matoria akata zimina rapatuanda. You are not a shepherd, but you can become a shepherd. Anybody here like that? Anybody here like that? You are not a shepherd, but you can become a shepherd in the name of Jesus. Makurata, sata, rata, rata, rata. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, there are more people here that can be shepherds to be trained. Yes. I want to rise up. I want to be trained. I want to help in this great work of saving souls, of establishing them, of bringing them to the master, of following them up, of establishing them, of teaching them in the name of you. You are on Facebook. I'm sure there's a number on the screen you can call. I want to be one of the shepherds. Yes, we can help you. We can train you. And you can rise to be a shepherd in the house of God and do something for the master to help to save many souls. Father, I bless everyone that lift your hand. I pray for them, Lord, as they submit themselves to you. I pray that you will establish them in your house. You will guide them, teach them by your spirit, and raise them up to be men and women that look after your flock. Only the Holy Spirit can make us overseers over the flock of God. Therefore, bless them, anoint them, and help them in Jesus' name. Amen.
My heart has found in you a hope that will abide.
We trust you have been refreshed by the word of truth, rightly divided by Bishop Eddie Addy from the Macarius Church headquarters. Join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. on the Riverside Flow Service. And connect with Bishop Eddie Addy on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on Sweet Melodies 94.3 FM. God richly bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon.
For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.